Welcome to your favorite F-word podcast, where we dive deep into conversations around food, fitness, feelings, with the occasional fuck thrown in. We're your hosts, Sarah
and Nicola,
owners of Paradigm Nutrition and Performance, nutrition coaches, besties, and most importantly, humans.
This show is for coaches, self-growth-oriented folks, active humans, or anyone looking to deepen their understanding and relationship with food, movement, and themselves.
Thanks for tuning in, and we cannot wait to share this space with you. Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Your Favorite F-Word. Today, we are doing a Just the Tips episode, and we're just going to talk about considerations for what happens when you quote unquote forget to track or quote unquote can't track, or life is just happening and our plans don't get carried out, or maybe we're lacking preparation, and just some things to consider for feeling good when life isn't like so structured and rigid like it is throughout majority of the year, considering that we're in summertime now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, summertime does feel like a good time to have this, but this is absolutely a reoccurring theme.
For sure.
For everyone, not just clients, but for everyone throughout the year, throughout the life. And I'm glad you called it Just the Tips, because I was like, oh, just the rant. That's it. it's just a recorded rant.
Nicola is a little unhinged this morning, so we're going to get some tough love happening. But it's good. I think lots of people need it. I think, at least for me, I've been having these conversations inside of client check-ins so much lately. And just like helping people realize, you know, what's actually going on in these situations, and taking back a little bit of their own power and control, in a time that can sometimes feel hectic. So that's what we're doing today.
I want to state that, like, I'm coming in hot because this is top of mind. And probably, if I'm being completely honest with myself, it's because I've noticed myself doing it too.
Right.
And it's frustrating to catch yourself in the same things that you're telling clients not to do. So I will be having a spoonful of my own medicine with this as well. So keep that in mind if I'm the unhingedness is getting too much.
I also think that it's interesting because Nicola and I are in very different spots with our nutrition right now. Nicola has been on a strict meal plan. She's been like very structured. She's been, for the most part, making this shit happen, even when she doesn't feel like it, even when she doesn't want to. And that's going to be easier for some people than others, for sure. But because you're in that mindset and you're like, well, yeah, it would be nice to like just say fuck it, or it would be nice to just do this, it's a lot easier for you to be like a little bit more tough love in this situation, because you're constantly making the decisions that, you know, our clients are saying they want to make.
Yeah. And I
does that make sense?
I think so, but I want to clarify, it's not easier for someone to make decisions than someone else.
Right.
It's easier for me right now because I have the privilege of not having to look out for anyone else but myself. Brandon is gone. You know, I have the privilege of like being able to dedicate time, energy, finances to this, you know, that all of those point. Things. But in terms of like making a tough decision and saying no to things or saying yes to things, we all have that same quote again, same, like there's certain life circumstances, but we can all make choices.
For sure. Yeah. And that's kind of where we want to start this episode, is just kind of really bringing to light what's going on in these situations. I think there's been, we've probably both had a lot of clients lately do their check-in, and there'll be like a day or two where their daily note is like, I couldn't track today, or I forgot to track today. And I always like to push back on like, did you forget to track? Could you actually not track? Or did you make the decision in that moment to not track? Because 99.9% of the time, even if it's an estimate, we can still track. You know, even if it's after the fact, if we forgot in the moment and ate something before we tracked it, we could still track it after, right? So we're it's not out of our control. And I think a lot of the challenges that people have moving through these phases is that we give that power up, right? Mm-hmm. We say, oh, well, I couldn't do it, or it was too hard, or I forgot, or blah, blah, blah. And like,
yeah, it's very rare that I'll get like the one of those notes from a client who says, I decided not to.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that passive language that's like, yeah, I forgot to. Something came up. It's like,
right.
No, you didn't prioritize it. No, exactly. You decided not to.
Yeah.
And like we're discussing like tracking as in tracking macros as like the through line here, but this really applies to so many other things. So if someone
literally
is not
any habit.
Yeah. Even if you're not even focused on nutrition, but you have a goal or a to-do, something that you want or need to get done, this same kind of like approach applies.
For sure.
And it's really like taking accountability, noticing like when you are giving up that power or control, even just in the language you use.
Yeah. Like if you're a student or you're a employee and you're working towards a project, you're not going to be like, oh, I forgot to write that paper, or like, oh, I couldn't write that paper, you know?
Oh my God, can you imagine? That'd be the best excuse ever. I would love to see a professor be like, oh, okay. I forgot to tell you, you're going to get a zero.
Yeah. So obviously in those situations, the consequences are beyond just your own personal growth,
yeah.
Right? And so it's quote unquote easier to hold ourselves to that standard. But The biggest takeaway we want everyone to have today is just like, you are in control. And the biggest, or like the thing that I personally think makes the most difference in how these periods of time play out is whether you're acknowledging that control and feeling empowered in your decisions, whether that decision is something that is ultimately aligned with some sort of end goal or not. Right. Mm-hmm. If you are choosing not to track because you're on vacation and you are choosing to consume alcohol and you are making these choices, fucking own that choice, and you're going to feel a lot better about it. And you're likely not going to fall into like this shame spiral where now it like transcends into like multiple days or weeks or months of just like feeling like we have no control.
Well, fucking said.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think like that's where it becomes a bigger conversation, is when we start to see like the trend, even if we've addressed it in like a check-in, but it becomes this thing of like, I'm not making progress and I'm not feeling good, or I'm not motivated.
Right.
Where do you think that like joy of the process, that feeling of progress, that sense of motivation went? It went away when you started building up more decisions that count like against you or are like moving away from your goals and your values.
For
that's
sure.
when we feel shitty, and like then no wonder you're not able to see or feel like you're progressing. No wonder you're not feeling a sense of motivation, because you are actively taking yourself away from the potential to feel good or the potential for motivation. It's not, and we're not talking about, you know, weight loss or anything as progress. We're talking about growth and holding yourself accountable and doing hard things that you know are worth it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that are going to bring you the sense of pride and the satisfaction.
Absolutely. And that motivation, that's another one that actually has been recurring theme in my check-ins lately. Having this idea that the motivation comes before carrying out that action. And like, it's really the opposite. We do the things and then we feel motivated to keep doing them.
Right. And like, you might feel motivation at the beginning, but that source of motivation is not what's going to get you to the finish line. That will die out long before.
Yeah.
And it will be the new motivation that you build yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Big time.
I'm doing a lot of arm movements right now.
Yeah.
Lots of big nods and like weird arm movements. Yeah.
I think a piece of this conversation too is that like, and we've talked about this a ton on the podcast, but aligning your effort and your expectations. Mm-hmm. And if we are in a period where our efforts are a little bit lower towards our nutrition and fitness, we have to adjust our expectations accordingly. So if you're someone who has made the decision that you want to do a cut throughout the summer, You need to be fully fucking willing. Yeah, Nicola's hand raised. To accept those trade-offs, because there are going to be trade-offs, and those trade-offs are going to likely be more present during a time of year like this, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas if we are choosing to, you know, not be as diligent with our tracking, not, you know, be as diligent with minding our alcohol intake, et cetera, we need to be okay with not progressing towards a certain body composition goal, with potentially not seeing improvements in our performance, with just existing in the moment and being present. And there's nothing fucking wrong with that. But again, effort expectations need to match. We need to own that decision. Because if we're like, well, I should be, you know, my body composition should be changing, or I should be hitting PRs, or I should be able to do this in the gym, but then our actions aren't aligned with that, again, that's where it feels really shitty. Where if we're like, well, no, I haven't been prioritizing my nutrition, I've been a little bit less like consistent with the gym. Okay, that's my decision. I'm okay with that. And like, I don't need to be progressing 24/7, and that's okay. That feels
yeah,
better.
It's, yeah, I have lots of clients where it's like, it's worth it to me to ease back on all of these other pieces because I need to prioritize something else right now, whether exactly. That's a vacation, family, school, you know, just needing a break, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But again, it's like, it's that ownership of the decision and recognizing that you are the one making it.
Big time.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this structure versus freedom piece. Cause what you said earlier when we were chatting about this episode was interesting to me.
Okay. Well, I'll say it ruthlessly first.
Perfect.
But y'all, and I'll put myself in this bucket too, but y'all need to get over this idea that we have to be spontaneous and we have to have flexibility in order to feel good. And I think in those definitions that we hear so often is like, oh, I'm craving more flexibility, I want to be able to say yes to things. I will always argue that you will actually create more spontaneity, more flexibility or freedom in your life when you have certain structures in place.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
More flexibility and freedom does not actually lead to more enjoyment of said flexibility and freedom.
For sure.
I don't think I've ever worked with a client who that was the case.
So I want to give an example and let me know if this is like kind of what you're explaining here. Mm-hmm. So if we're like, man, I want more flexibility, I want more freedom, I want more spontaneity. And to do that, I'm going to choose to not track and not meal prep and just see what happens throughout the week.
Right. That I want to be able to say yes to any meals out.
Yeah.
I want to be able to eat whatever I want.
Yeah.
Whenever.
That's going to feel good for a few days, but there's going to be a point where we're likely not feeling super great physically. We might have some digestive symptoms. We're feeling a little bit out of sorts because we lack any structure, right? And this isn't, I think it is easy to fall into like, well, then that's disordered because you should be able to like just enjoy those things. And like, that's not what we're talking about here, right? We're looking at like, are we actually feeling good in our bodies? Not is there shame associated with the fact that we didn't meal prep or that we didn't track? That's not what we're talking about. But it'll feel good for a few days and then it doesn't feel good anymore. Whereas if we did meal prep and then someone was like, hey, do you want to come for a dinner out or whatever? And we've had majority of our meals normal throughout the week. And then we go enjoy that dinner out. We eat something we actually fucking like, and then we move on and go back to our normal eating pattern the next day. That is going to feel a lot better mentally and physically. Mm-hmm. Is that what you mean?
Is that kind of like along the lines? Yeah, that's definitely one example. Another one might be, you know, I work all week. I do my meal prep. So I have my Monday to Friday stuff ready. I've tracked. That's amazing. But that rigidity then makes me feel like and I'm using like big air quotes with the word rigidity, but that then makes me feel like on the weekends, I want to be able to say yes to going out for a meal. I don't want to have to think about tracking. I want to be able to just like wake up when I wake up and whatever. And that like need for freedom usually means then going way too long between meals. When you finally eat, you're choosing whatever's available. You know, you're not hitting any kind of like protein goals, water intake, because nothing is structured. You've lost all the consistency. And then come Monday, it's way harder to get back into your routine. And so over time, we see this start to break down. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, I didn't do my meal prep. So then actually now Monday's kind of a write-off too. And then I used Monday night to meal prep. And then it only started Tuesday. And all of a sudden you've gone from having 5 days consistent, 2 days inconsistent, to like now it's 3 days inconsistent, now it's four days, now I've gone a whole week where I'm like, I didn't really do what I wanted to do for myself. And you know, the conversation around how consistent do I need to be to see my like goals progress is definitely a conversation. Even like the idea of like 2 out of 7 days being inconsistent, that's not going to get you to your goals. That's really only 70% consistent. We're talking like we need like 80-90 ideally.
Yeah.
If not higher, to really make meaningful change.
Yeah.
And so it just like becomes this pattern. Whereas my argument is like, if you want more freedom on the weekends, do a little bit more planning in advance, do a little extra meal prep on Thursday to make sure you've got, God forbid, some protein sources prepped. You're making sure that a few pieces of your week are going to be like threads that carry into the weekend. So you're still going to wake up and have your same breakfast. You're still going to wake up and, you know, get some sunshine, go for your walk that you usually do. You're still going to make sure you're drinking 3 liters of water every day. Like those are the pieces that will bridge the gap between going from 100 Monday to Friday to fucking zero on the weekend. And then that pattern rolls.
Repeating down. That cycle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those were some really good examples of ways to bring a little bit of structure into your weekends. And all of those examples that Nicola just said in terms of like having some proteins batch prepped, drinking your water, having a similar breakfast. I think breakfast is huge. Doing like the same thing in the morning that you typically do, even if it's maybe you're sleeping in and it's a little bit later in the day. All of those are great things to literally bring with you throughout anything that's going on in the summer. So not just weekends, if you're traveling, if you are camping, if you are whatever, those are like some great ones to just help like bridge the gap. That is a great way of putting it, right?
I'd also
kind of find that middle ground.
Yeah. I'd also make the argument that if you are doing like a bit more prep, like full meals, that actually opens up a lot more time and energy and space to say yes to other things because you don't have to worry about what you're going to eat. So for example, if like, you know, you don't have plans on Saturday, and someone's like, hey, let's go to the beach. You don't have to now think, oh, fuck, like, what am I going to eat? Am I going to, you know, have to go too long without eating? Am I going to have to resort to like fast food? Because you literally have meal prep now and you can be like, for sure, I'm literally going to grab this out of the fridge and I'm there.
Yeah.
Like it does open up so much more.
Yeah. Very, very helpful for sure. Okay. So those are kind of like our, I feel like that wasn't as unhinged as it could have got. Thoughts around like the mindset piece of this, right? Which is ultimately the most important piece, I think, when it comes to not letting this kind of spiral. So do we want to lay out some like other specific scenarios and some considerations in these?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
We did.
You go.
Well, I was going to say we listed a few scenarios, but none of them were the one we started, which was, I forgot to track.
I know. Now what? I did, because that's, I think that's bullshit.
Well, then yeah, track that's after. I've gotten the most unhinged.
So if you forgot to track, you've got a few options. Think about what you ate and do your best to track it after the fact. Move on and just track your next meal. Or wallow in shame and say fuck it for the entire summer.
I would say there's probably a fourth option, and which is recognize this didn't go well and track in advance
for next
the next day.
Yeah.
Plan
yeah.
and track in advance so that doesn't happen again. We're learning from our mistakes. We're adults. We learn from lessons.
Yeah. Yeah. The reflection piece is huge for sure of like, okay, I forgot to track. Did I actually forget? Did I make a conscious choice not to? If that was a conscious choice not to, which it probably was, why? Was it because I am worried about perfection and I wasn't going to hit my macros perfectly, so I decided not to? Was it because I was around people who, you know, I thought might be judgy or like whatever, didn't want to? Was it because I made a choice of a food that I knew wouldn't hit my macros and I felt bad about it and didn't want to? Was it?
That's the one, like, I think happens the most. And I would like say it's like, did I make the easy choice because I'm a human?
Yeah.
These are like the part of the conversation too, is I think recognizing like that the easy choice is usually not the one in line with your goals.
For sure.
It's not. Yeah.
Sadly, would be nice.
Mm-hmm. And so like your part of this process is like getting used to doing, making the hard choice and doing the harder thing. And again, I argue that that's where like your motivation and like confidence comes from, is because you know yourself now to be a person who can do the hard stuff when other people usually don't. And when you yourself have not in the past, that can be a big shift for someone.
That's
to
huge.
Be like, you know, I used to see myself as someone who, you know, couldn't do the hard thing. And now I'm literally proving to myself that that was wrong. I can absolutely do the hard thing.
Yeah.
And when I don't, I'm owning the fact that I didn't.
Yeah. And I'm moving on and like not letting that carry into my next decision.
Mm-hmm.
Big time. So yeah, that reflect on like what came up there. And then from there, based on what's coming up, how do we need to adjust for next time? Is it, you know, pre-planning ahead? Is it looking at the menu ahead? Is it having a conversation with someone who's unsupportive? Is it, you know, packing your own food? Is it
eating some extra protein ahead of time, making sure you're ordering some goddamn vegetables with your meal, drinking extra water?
Yeah. Lots of, there's like so many different solutions there. Is it deciding, okay, that scenario is a scenario that I truly do not want to track? So I think of weddings as an example. I think that this one is like a good one. So someone might go into a wedding with a plan of tracking and then choose not to track. They're, it's not because they forgot to track or did like, you know, couldn't. They could have, but they chose not to. And that is, in my opinion, a very valid choice in that situation. And the reason you likely chose not to was because, number one, you were focused on the event. You were focused on being present. You were focused on that. Number two, you probably had less control over the food unless it was a buffet, right? And number three, it's a special event. Like it is for those people, that's hopefully never going to happen again, right? So those are three, in my opinion, for my own personal life, very valid reasons why I would choose not to track. And so the next time I'm going to a wedding, I'm not going to say I'm going to track, because I have reflected and I fucking know that I'm going to not want to track when I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
So
in those moments, it makes sense to choose the option that's not your goal.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so that I don't feel like absolute shithole for 3 days later, I might set some other things to think about. So again, those could be eating regularly throughout the day. That could be setting a limit around alcohol intake, whether it's a number of drinks, whether it's not starting to drink until X time of the day. That could be getting in a workout the morning of. That could be having a plan for breakfast and lunch the day after. Like there's so many things where you can make the choice not to track, but still do some of those other hard things and come out of that feeling a lot better.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good example.
Yeah.
I mean, that, the theme
that
of all these scenarios
that
is
they're kind of same. Okay.
All these scenarios, maybe we just list them, but these are things we see often. So consciously choosing not to track, planning to track. I love this when people plan to do something, but then don't actually do it.
Do you love that?
Yeah, because I think we see it so much and I think people are so confused.
Yeah.
I plan to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, your plan was missing a very crucial part, which was determining the actions you were going to take to make that plan happen.
Yeah.
And I think this is like where I get really picky and have maybe been more like unhinged in my client check-ins lately, is like when I'm asking like, what is the focus for the next week? And people will be like, well, I'm I'm going to hit my protein every day. Fucking how?
Yeah.
Because that's what you've said 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we did it.
And the week before and the week before. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, I'm going to get more sleep. Okay, cool. What are you actually going to do? Are you setting a reminder alarm to wind down? Are you canceling something in the morning so you can sleep in? Like, how are you ensuring that I have sleep?
Yeah.
And
that
so like,
is a massive missing piece for a lot of people.
Yeah. It's so nice to say we're going to plan. Yeah. And even in
it
that,
it feels good.
What? It feels great.
It feels good to like make
the
that
first
plan.
Little dopamine hit. Yeah. You're like, it's like the same idea as like writing a to-do list. You're like, well, I wrote it down.
Yeah.
That's like almost done, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You've talked about that before for sure. Yeah.
It is. There was a really good podcast episode that I listened to it, and it was like perfectionist fantasies or like tomorrow fantasies or something she called it. And it's like, when you get that dopamine release and that pleasure from literally saying you're going to do the thing. And the to-do list is a perfect example, but like this happens so much in our fitness and our nutrition. So taking that a step further, okay, you said you're going to do the thing. What needs to happen in your fucking day to do the thing? Like, what is the specific action?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in our like third scenario here, this goes very well into that, but this idea is like, oh, I couldn't get to the gym. I intended to, I planned to, but then I didn't. Okay. What does your actual planning process look like then? Are you scheduling it in? Are you prioritizing it would be another thing.
Yeah.
And like, certainly life happens, emergencies happen, schedules change. Like these are things that we then can talk about. Well, like, you know, how do we overcome that a little quicker next time? Or what are some things that worked in your like emergency management? What are things that didn't? Like, those are conversations too. So we're not really including that. It's like when, yeah, I wanted to get all four workouts done this week, but I didn't.
Yeah. And it wasn't because, you know, you had to pick kids up or you were up all night with a sick kid or you're sick or like whatever. It's because you didn't feel like it in that moment and chose not to. That's what we're talking about here, right?
Yeah. And I will use myself as this example. Because in my training schedule, I have four workouts that I need to do in the week. I can do them on any day, but when I'm busy, I notice a trend where Monday I get it done, Tuesday I get it done, Thursday I get it done. And on Friday, all of a sudden I've got all this extra stuff that, you know, for school that took too long, extra commitments. And then I'm like, well, shit, now I'm not going to get to the gym. And in my learning from that is, you know, it would be easier if I just got that done first thing in the day and then could prioritize the rest of the day.
Right.
No, not everyone has that kind of like scheduling freedom, but it's like that kind of thing to consider. If you notice a pattern arising where that fourth workout is almost always getting pushed, or it's easier to start to prioritize something else, or you're recognizing that just like, you know, you don't have the kind of time, then it's like, okay, can you then schedule it in on Saturday? Or do you do it first thing in the morning? Or do you shift your workouts back to start on Sunday? Whatever it is,
yeah,
those are like this the types of things that should be in your planning process.
For sure. I think having some, and again, it depends what your goals are. So Nicola's goals right now require her to do specific types of workouts. But if your goal is general well-being, is general fitness, like general performance, you probably have a little bit more flexibility in what you're actually doing for your movement than you give yourself credit for. And so, like, I have one client right now, she works shift work, she has two young kids, and like on a day where she doesn't sleep at night and then has to like do a 12-hour shift, I'm telling her, like, you're not allowed to work out. So if you get one less workout this week, like, that's fine. And then having the conversation on how else can we move your body? Can we go for a walk? This morning, I was supposed to go to the gym and do an upper body lift. My training partner bailed on me because she was out last night at the Stampede. She told me she was going and I was like, okay, I just will know you're not.
Okay, so I won't see you tomorrow. Great.
Yeah.
Thanks for the heads up.
And then I got up and I didn't feel like going by myself. Like, I just didn't want to. So I was like, I'm going to go to 9:30 CrossFit instead. Right. Again, I have the flexibility in my day to do that. and I'm not working towards any specific goal right now. Would I have loved to get more of an upper body pump? Yes, but I still got movement in, right? So it's like, okay, if we can't get that structured workout, or maybe it can't be an hour and a half long, but it could be 40 minutes long. Like, can we build some flexibility into that? So again, we're still making the decision to spend that time on our fitness. It just maybe looks a little bit different than our perfectly laid plans.
For sure.
Yeah.
So if you find yourself nodding along, being like, yes, I've been in this situation, that scenario number two happened to me just yesterday. How dare you bring that up? If you are nodding along, or can think of any other, you know, things outside of even fitness and nutrition that you're like, I'm constantly planning to do something and it's not happening, here is our kind of like steps to fixing that. Mm-hmm. So if you are in a scenario, you don't like the outcome, or you notice that you have said you were going to do something and then you didn't, we like to ask then, what is the next best decision you can make? So not letting one decision that takes you away from your goals lead you down that path where no decisions align with your goals. How can you reorient with the next decision? So if you went out for an unanticipated meal, maybe didn't order something that was like super awesome for the kind of like goal you're following, instead of being like, well, fuck it, I'm going to order dessert, I'm going to have drinks tomorrow morning, I'm not going to eat my high protein breakfast. Be like, okay, this is what I had, I own it. I'm going to maybe put a boundary around the rest of the alcohol that I drink for the night, or I'm going to start my morning with this meal. Mm-hmm.
Or get some movement in, or
yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
So from there, make the next decision realigned. Realign yourself right away. Mm-hmm. Then I think there is a lot of value in reflecting. In that last decision that I made and took me away from my goals, what was I thinking? Why did I do that? Was it the easier choice? And maybe I wasn't super like focused on my goal. If I wasn't focused on my goal, what can I like do for myself to make my goals more front of mind? Mm-hmm. What else?
I have two thoughts on this one in the reflection process and kind of like situations that I can think of for my clients and me. I think a lot of times, number one, if we're drinking alcohol, that makes our decision process a lot more challenging, right? So in that reflection process, think, okay, was alcohol involved? And did that affect my decisions? Because when you're two or three drinks deep, it's way fucking harder to make the hard decision than when you were sober. Like, mm-hmm. it just is. And then number two, is the situation like completely bringing you out of mindfulness? And so what I mean by that, I remember I used to, when Friday would roll around, I would get this like fucking wave come over me, like this urge of just like, and this was when I was not in a good spot with like my relationship with food or anything, but just like this like feeling of uncontrollable desire to like drink a lot, eat shitty food, etc. Right. And it was, I felt that coming in, but I wasn't able to like stop it in that moment and then like kind of reorient myself. Mm-hmm. So, and I had this conversation with the client. She was out for like Mexican night with her friends, and like she planned to have one margarita, but then she just like kept getting more and she didn't even think about it till like the next day. And like, yes, there's a piece of that where like, well, no, you still like, for sure, you were ordering another one and you were like, do I want, like, there was still some consciousness there, but I also related to her like feeling like we just don't create enough time between like the thought and the actual action.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point.
So if you can create that time for yourself, right? If that's what's coming up in your reflection process and you're like, man, I just lost all mindfulness, how can you bring that mindfulness in? And one of my favorite things to do personally, especially if alcohol is involved, is making sure I go to the bathroom and I'll literally just like sit in there quietly and just like assess how I'm feeling. Because when I'm around people and there's like so much stimulation and stuff, it's really hard. So kind of removing yourself from the situation as a little check-in can be really helpful if you're mm-hmm. in that situation.
The same would go for like, you know, you eat something and you're still like, oh, I could eat another one. Like
right.
with like chips or anything delicious. This is like a very human tendency.
Yeah.
But give yourself some space or a new environment. So like take 10 minutes, go in a different room, no longer in the kitchen. Or if you're watching TV and you're distracted, I think that's a big one we see is like, well, I do a lot of snacking in front of the TV. Yeah, because you're not like present.
Yeah.
It's like, it's very easy to make those like snap decisions that are, again, the easy ones, the ones that are less, we have to be really conscious of our goals to make those kind of decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So like turning off the TV or getting off your phone, taking a few minutes, you know,
yeah,
do a little stretch, go for a little walk, have a glass of water, pet your dog. I don't know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then see, like, do I actually want another one? You might
mm-hmm.
go for it then if like you're making a conscious decision.
Yeah.
But I think that that's a very, very
creating that space.
Yeah.
So once you've done the reflection and you've decided like, okay, this is why, or this is what's coming up, then we're going to put the new plan in place and we're going to make sure that that plan includes the actual action.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, okay, I'm going to drink less alcohol next time. Okay. What's the actual action? You know, is it setting a limit? Is it asking someone that you're with to help hold you accountable? Is it, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Those types of things.
I mean, and alcohol, that's like a very nuanced one too.
For sure.
But again, let's bring it back to like what we see in client check-ins. It's like, I want to get to the gym 3 times this week. Cool. Right. What are the actual actions? Are you packing your gym bag and going straight from work? Are you putting it in your schedule and prioritizing it the same way you would like a meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Are you bringing a partner along, like meeting someone so you know you'll go? Like those kind of things. Same with like, I'm going to eat more protein this week. Cool. How? So it's like, it's making, it's doing the actual like planning and creating those actions.
For sure.
Saying is not doing.
Yeah.
It's really awesome that you say you're going to plan for it. But what is the actual plan and what are the actions in there?
Big time. Okay. Well, I think that pretty much covers everything we wanted to go over today. I think that was very
hinged.
Yeah. It was like, it was like a creaky hinge. Like it wasn't off yet, but it was like not super, super like fucking, you know,
right. A slight gust of wind could have blown it open, but thankfully it's not a very breezy day. Well, that's good. And I feel like too, maybe it's just because whenever I feel like a little bit not my norm, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so unhinged because I have a tough time with tough love feedback.
I'm just reflecting on how interesting it is. Like I would have been interested to have this same conversation last summer when I was also cutting because the fact that I'm like obviously not cutting right now and like haven't been, you know, as dialed in with the things that I normally am, my tendency is to like be a little bit more gentle. Right.
Right now.
Yeah. Towards clients.
Yeah.
Right. Where I'm still asking them these questions, but I'm like not doing it as much as in a tough love way as I would when I'm like in it.
Right. So like the influence that our current state and process. Absolutely. Yeah. That's huge.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. It's just like the belief in the ability to like actually do the thing when you're not doing it, that belief isn't as high.
Got it. Right? Yeah. Yep.
So it's just, it's an interesting reflection, but.
And it makes me think like, no wonder people are like, well, I can do it. So can you?
Yeah.
That just makes
that's,
sense.
Yeah, for sure. But it's like, that's not how that works. So even when we are in those situations where we're doing it, we're still with our clients having the conversation around like, okay, if you're not doing it, why?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we're not the ones that are choosing whether something's an actual obstacle or, you know, if they're just making excuses, but we're helping our clients recognize that for themselves.
Unless we've worked with them for 2 years, in which case I'll be like, bitch.
We fucking know. Yeah. I do have a few of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is Anywho, kind of fun.
Hope that was helpful. If you needed a little, I was going to say smack in the ass. If you needed
a light little
nudge in the direction.
Bum yeah. tap.
Yeah.
If you consent to the little booty.
Yeah.
Then we will give it to you.
Yeah. And if
I
you
haven't smacked an ass in a long time.
Oh. I smack ass maybe. All the time at the gym.
I smack ass.
It's like a more love tap, like good job.
Yeah. Brandon's usually I don't even. Oh, sometimes I do smack it. And then when it makes that really good sound, you're like, yeah. Usually right. I just like ram my hand in his butt
up
crack.
Up the butt
yeah.
crack.
Yeah. Yeah.
Finger so in the
we're
booty
not,
hole.
We're not doing that to you though.
Yeah. Yeah. No. No, that's no. A little invasive.
A little.
Yeah.
That's the
just
sound
a little
it
love
would
tap.
Make.
Yeah. So. Okay. Well, next week, not next week. Whenever
Who
we
knows?
Record a
Sarah's
podcast
fucking
next,
going away.
Because I'm going to Europe, we are going to do What Would Paradigm Do?
What we talked about last time.
Did we talk about it?
Yeah, but we haven't posted that episode
yet. Okay. So we are actually going to do that, but we wanted to give you guys more time to submit your scenarios. So
slash actually tell you about it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, because we haven't posted that yet. I'm trying to decide if we need to do an anonymous box or if people are just gonna.
Let's do an anonymous box.
Okay, we'll figure out how to do that.
I've never done that.
No, I know. So we will post on our stories and on Paradigm Story, anonymous box. What would Paradigm do? Ask us all of your things around fucking nutrition and training confusion. Life debacles.
What do you do about your dog
shit.
That eats shit? Yeah.
Yeah. Relationship drama.
Should you do
shit
a
you don't want to deal
with. I keep bringing that one up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll give you our unhinged, unsolicited, unfiltered opinion.
What kind of cereal is best post-workout? How many egg whites are too many?
Is
Why
cereal a soup?
Plant diet? Ew. Okay. Yeah. Shit like that is what I want to hear.
Yeah.
Is cereal a soup? Wow. Oh, what do you think? Let's answer that one right now.
I think no. But Brad is like, Brad asks everyone this.
Okay. I think no as well. But when I think about it, this is why I went so long without being a person who ate cereal. Because I was like, why would you want to purposely make something soggy? Think of anything else in the world. And you're like, why would I want anything else to be soggy?
Right.
But cereal, you're like, yeah, you purposely sog it.
So my argument for why it's not a soup is because cereal exists on its own without a liquid.
Got it.
Right? Where like a soup is only a soup once it's liquidy.
Right.
But you could eat dry cereal.
Right. A square is a rectangle, but a rectangle is not a square.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Did I get that right? I think so.
I don't know. I've never heard that one. I'm fucking bad with those anyways.
A rectangle is, in its dictionary definition, is a shape with four sides.
Right. So a square,
square
is a rectangle.
Fits that definition.
Right.
But the definition of a square is that each
or
side
even
is
side.
Equal in length. Yes.
Right.
Not all rectangles are squares.
Right.
Fuck, I nailed that. Geometry for the win.
Yeah. You nailed the head on the hammer.
Is that geometry?
It's geometry, yeah.
Yeah, nice. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, geometry. Yes. Trigonometry is triangles.
Angles.
Yeah, whatever. Fuck, that was
slopes.
Just dumb as shit. Why do we need to learn that in school?
I kind of liked it.
So many better things they could have taught us in school. Anyways. Let's do
like
a fuck yes and fuck no.
A super yeah.
Fuck yes and fuck no.
Oh God. I feel like I've said this as a fuck no before, but it's a fuck yes right now.
Okay.
But I've been just like really enjoying having bizarre conversations with like random people in the community, like on my dog walks.
You hate when people talk to you with your dog.
I know, but like yesterday, Rue and I were like sitting in our little ocean spot and there was this cute old man and he came over and started chatting. And it turns out he's lived in this little neighborhood for like the past 30 or 40 years. And so he's seen it like change and develop. And he lives on this street. It's like a coveted street with like these great picturesque views and massive houses. And he has hot gossip on everybody on that street. And I was like, oh my God, tell me more.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I never would have run into him if I was right. in my bitchy era where I was like,
don't talk to me.
Yeah. And then I met a really cute woman at the dog park today. And she was telling me about one time her dog ran away and she was like calling it in the park. And then she's up on a hill and she sees the dog exit someone's house. And she's like, what the fuck? Gone into the house and laid on the couch. And now they see that guy around because he had looked at the collar.
Yeah.
And now he's hilarious. Like always knows them. He's like, hi. And she's like, sorry, who are you? And he's like, remember when your dog let herself into my house? Yeah. I'm that guy.
That's funny.
Like very cute. Yeah. So I've been really enjoying that lately.
Yeah. I have a few people on our walks the other dog owners, we like know them all, but there's this one lady who I walk by her yard all the time and she always talks to me. And so she's like, she's into astrology too. Cause she was like, what is your baby's sign going to be? Like stuff amazing. Like that. Like,
what did she say? Wait, what was her reaction when you were like, it's a Scorpio. He's a Scorpio.
Yeah. She was
made that face.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah. But at least I would rather have a Scorpio boy than a Scorpio girl.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she's so cute. And then there's this other lady who I saw her yesterday morning and she was due on Friday. She's having her second baby. She's got the cutest little like 3-year-old. So I'm always chatting with them and the 3-year-old loves Molly. It's so cute. So it can be, it's like a nice little like unexpected, like cutesy part of your day.
Yeah. And if you wake up and you don't want that, wear a hat, big obvious headphones and walk with your head down.
Yeah. There you go.
Or wear the hat I have that says, I don't have shit to say to anybody.
You would have a hat that says that.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Nice.
What's your fuck no?
Fuck no? Well, this is like a first world problem, but our air conditioner is broken. And it's like 28 degrees rich person in our house. And I'm pregnant and I sweat existing. And I'm fucking dying.
Yeah, your little belly sweat.
Definitely, yeah. My belly roll sweat. I told Nicola I'm getting like this roll where when I bend over, like my belly and my leg create this roll, and I'm gonna have to start like making sure I'm washing out the roll. And my belly,
adorable.
Like my belly button's getting massive.
Weird. Can I see it?
Yeah.
Like the hole is getting bigger.
The hole is getting bigger. What do you mean?
Is that normal? Oh my God, it's huge.
Right? So it's like the hole like expanded, but then it turns into an Audi at some point.
Wait, but that's not, it doesn't always turn into an Audi.
Most people get an Audi for part of their pregnancy.
But then it goes back in?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it was funny. I was coaching the other day and I was like, everyone was at the whiteboard and I was like, okay, does anyone have any questions before we like go to like the movements? And Mel like raises her hand. She's like, do you have an Audi yet? And I just like lifted up my shirt in front of everyone. I was like, nope.
Not yet.
Not yet.
That's cute.
But yeah, it was cute. But it's fucking hot here, man. I'm like today at the gym, I was sweating, but I couldn't take my shirt off because my sports bras are too small for my massive tits. Just first world problems. It's fine.
That's a big titty problem.
That is a big titty problem. Never had those in my life.
Yeah. Don't
I like, I can finally relate to you.
Yeah. I hope you start to get blisters where your sports bras dig in and back pain.
It is like starting to hurt in the traps. But I'm also wondering if, because I had to get normal bras and I have that rash in my armpit, and I wonder if it's from my normal bras. Because it seems to always flare up when I wear a
bra. You mean like with an underwire?
And like, I mean, the ones I got don't have wire, but they have clasps in the back. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Your body's just rejecting the big boobs.
Yeah. Fuck this. Anywho.
Sarah stares at her little belly.
Okay. Well, I do have a shower. I stink.
Okay. So there's a lot of fuck no's. Fuck no, having to shower because you got so stinky.
But I'm gonna have a cold shower and it's gonna feel good.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Okay,
so we'll be back in a few weeks. Yeah, thanks for tuning in.
I mean, I guess we don't need to share our administrative process, but I was about to ask how long you're gone for again. Remind me when you're back and when we're podcasting and posting again, but we'll spare you all from that.
Okay. 3 weeks.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Bye, everyone.
Goodbye. Shit.